harvest, or global food production, we might say. I guess we don't think about harvest that much. We think about food quite a lot, but we probably don't think about where it comes from and how it's produced and so on. But we should. It's really important, because harvest teaches us about God's generosity, about our sin, and God's response to our sin. So let's think about God's generosity first of all. God made the world. That's clear in the Bible. But God joyfully made the world. And he made it good. He made it a place for us human beings to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy his good gifts to us. And he made the world so that the production of food is enough for every single person in the world. There's more than enough food in the world, or the world is capable of providing more than enough food for everyone. But also, it's important to note, I think, that God didn't just make boring food, a kind of squidgy, tasteless porridge stuff that gives us everything we need in terms of nutrients. He made us lovely food, exciting food, beautiful food, not bland, not boring. Smashed avocados on toast with eggs. Lovely. Absolutely. Food like that. Enjoyable food. And he did that because he is generous. Boys and girls, I think that's on your sheet. God is generous. The author, Nate Wilson, describes how God made the world. And he does it quite nicely, does it poetically. He describes God as kind of weaving his generosity, hiding it in the world, weaving in glorious things and joyful things and lovely things for us to discover, like secrets for us to uncover and then enjoy. And I'm just going to give you a couple of quotes from him. So he says, "Skim the cream, add sugar from the cane grass and shards of vanilla bean from faraway lands. Surround with water cold enough to have expanded its molecules and become solid. Now stir. Keep stirring. Now taste. And worship." What's that describing, do you think, boys and girls? Can you work it out? God's put all these different things in the world. He's put vanilla beans and cream and made cold stuff. And if you stir it a lot, it makes, what do you think? Ice cream, that's right. And I love the way he kind of describes God as putting these different elements in the world and waiting for us to discover these delicious things. I mean, who doesn't like ice cream? Here's another one. This is a bit more obvious. "Our God made up peanuts and bulgy tubers. Squeeze out the peanut oil and boil it. Slice the tubers and throw them in. Now add salt from the sea. Take and eat." Peanut butter. Peanut butter, how about that? So he's making the point that God is generous. God provides enough, actually more than enough, but tasty things as well. So harvest reminds us of God's generosity. But harvest also reminds us of our sin, of our selfishness and injustice. You see, as soon as we think about harvest and global food production, we come up against this awful fact that much of the world goes hungry while the rest of the world overeats and wastes food. It's really awful when you think about it. Millions of people are starving to death in the world, and then in richer countries, people are eating themselves to death because they've taken in so much more food than they need. That's awful, isn't it? I just want to share with you a few facts and figures about food and wastage. I made sure I researched the source, so this comes from the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. Over one third of all food produced globally goes to waste. Isn't that awful? The annual value of food wasted globally is $1 trillion. Boys and girls, I don't even know how much a trillion is, but it's a huge amount. It's more than a million, it's more than a billion, it's massive. And it weighs 1.3 billion tons. All the world's nearly 1 billion hungry people could be fed on less than a quarter of the food that is wasted. in the US, UK and Europe. There is enough food in the world for everyone, but we waste so much of it. An area larger than China is used to grow food that's never eaten. If food waste were a country, it would be the world's third largest emitter of greenhouse gases. It's awful, isn't it? 25% of the world's fresh water supply is used to grow food that's never eaten. There's enough fresh water in the world for everyone as well. But that's wasted. Boys and girls, your worksheet, there's a number, okay, that you might want to look at. You might be ready to fill in before I go to the next slide. Okay, make sure you've got that. All right, 25% of the world's fresh water supply is used to grow food that's never eaten. In most, now we might think, oh, that's all out there, that's nothing to do with me, but this brings it towards us a bit more. In most developed countries, that's us, boys and girls, we're a developed country, we're rich, and we have enough, more than enough, money and food and so on. In most developed countries, over half of all food waste takes place in the home. So we tend to chuck out a lot of food. How many of us know that on occasions we've thrown away food just because it's easier, just because it's convenient? How many of us have wasted more food than we've given away to poor people? Clearly, something is very wrong with the world, with us. God gives generously to us more than enough food, but we greedily gobble it up and waste a lot of it while a billion people go hungry. So harvest illuminates God's generosity, but sadly it also illuminates humanity's sin, our sin. A while ago I watched this movie, 2017's Wonder Woman. Now I didn't really think much of the movie because it seemed a bit confused as to what message it was trying to get across, and watching it visually was like watching a computer game, just too much CGI and it just didn't look real. So I wouldn't really recommend it as a movie, but I thought the first minute, the first introduction was spot on, because what the movie does is clearly portrays the sinful inclinations of humankind. So we're going to watch like the first minute or so of Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman is speaking and she's talking about the earth. See if you agree with what she says. I thought that introduction makes a good point. Earth looks beautiful from space, doesn't it? So beautiful. It's a place worth cherishing. But zoom in and zoom in and zoom in, and then we see our tendency to be greedy and wasteful and to hurt, harm and hate each other. That's reality, isn't it? I think that's spot on. And facing this truth is indeed difficult, as the introduction says. It's easy to kind of think, yep, I agree, there's a lot of wastage and sin in the world, but it's all out there. That's not me. I'm not like that. It's easy to think that, isn't it? But Jesus tells us that sin originates from within each one of us, from our hearts. We see that in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. For from within... Boys and girls, worksheet, there's an answer to one of the questions here. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride and foolishness. Each one of us sins and contributes to the sinfulness of our world, to the sinfulness of humanity. Now, these sins are mostly about how we mistreat one another. But you know, there's another dimension to sin. Sin is where we mistreat God. And how we mistreat God is all down to how we respond to God's generosity. To help us think about how we respond to God's generosity, I want us to think about how a child might receive a gift. Imagine it's the child's birthday or it's Christmas or something, and they're handed a gift. A child can receive a gift in one of three ways. Firstly, they can accept it and enjoy it, but then not thank or acknowledge the giver. Or they can accept it, but then misuse it or smash up the gift. Imagine a grandfather has carved a lovely jewelry box or something for his granddaughter, but she plays football with it and kicks it around and smashes it up. That's the way that a child can receive a gift. Or a child can accept the gift, enjoy it, and then thank the giver and acknowledge the effort has been put in, and it's a wonderful thing to receive the gift. And you know what? I think we receive God's good and generous gifts often in those first two ways. That's often how we do it, isn't it? We accept it. Oh, food is lovely. Yes, harvest, great. But then we don't bother thanking him or acknowledging him. Or we accept the gift, but we misuse it. We overeat. We're greedy or we're wasteful. So in those ways, we sin against God. So the truth we can't avoid, the truth that's hard to face up to is this. We all sin. We sin against the planet. We sin against one another. And we sin against God. The question is, what is God's response? So he's set up the world and he's generously given us harvest and photosynthesis and the sun, as Paul mentioned, and every year there's enough crops capable of growing, there's enough water and all that. But we respond by misusing his good gifts, wasting food and so on. How does he respond? Well, incredibly, God responds to our sin with more generosity. And this is the amazing, almost unbelievable, almost too good to be true truth of the Bible. But it is true. That's why Christianity is so fantastic and why it's my privilege to stand here and share it with you. God responds to our sin with more generosity because God generously gives us, or he gave us, what was most precious to him in order to save us from the consequences and the punishment we deserve because of our sin. So God gave us his precious son, Jesus, in response to our sin. What's most precious to you? Who is most precious to you? Would you be willing to give them up, to allow them to die, in order to save someone who's mistreated you and hurt you and harmed you and used you? God did just that. Jesus came into our world, sent by God. He didn't take God's gifts and misuse them. He didn't, you know, behave greedily and wastefully. He didn't hurt, harm, or hate people. He didn't have a heart that produced envy and arrogance and lies and so on. He was perfect because he was the Son of God. And he gave himself for us. He gave himself by dying, as you can see from the graphic, on the cross in pain and suffering. What was going on there? Jesus was being punished in our place. He was receiving the judgment from God that we deserve for sinning against the planet, for sinning against one another, for sinning against God. That was what was happening. Humanity was being saved at that point on the cross. That's why we have a cross up in the building and on the outside to remind us of this incredible act of love. Jesus giving himself willingly to save us. Now I want to ask you, what's your response to that, to God's generosity? We sin and God responds generously by giving us his son so that we can be saved from sin, so that then we can receive power so we don't live wastefully and misuse God's world and misuse one another. What's our response to that? I think largely there are three responses we can make. First response, we can just carry on as we are in our sin, ignoring God. Receiving the gifts, lovely food, but not saying thank you to God, not acknowledging him as the generous, loving creator. That's the first response. Or, secondly, we can deny our sin. We can say, well, I'm not sinful, I'm not wasteful, I'm not greedy. I don't have sin in my heart like Jesus said I did. We can deny it. We can refuse to admit that we're sinful. And say, I don't need you, Jesus. I'm fine. I deserve to go to heaven. Both of those responses will end up in us not being allowed to go to heaven, in us being punished, because God has to punish sin. And whether we deny it, whether we admit it or not, we all have sin in our hearts. Or we can respond in a third way. we can say to God, okay, I admit it. I have sinned against the planet. I have sinned against people I know, people I love. I have sinned against you many, many times. I need you, Jesus. I need what you did on the cross for me. I need you to take my punishment because otherwise I deserve punishment. I acknowledge that. I repent. I turn away from living the way I have been. I turn to you, Jesus, and trust in you. I wonder, what's your response? This morning could be a fork in the road moment for you. Which path are you going to choose? Are you going to just carry on? Response one and two, or are you going to acknowledge God and joyfully receive his response of generosity to our sin? We're going to finish now, but before we do, I'm going to pray. Because if any of you want to turn to Jesus, if you haven't already done so, if you want to admit your sin and just come to Jesus and say, yes, I thank you, I want that, you can do that now. Just pray after me in your head, silently, if you want to do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I admit that I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against other people. I've sinned against your planet. Please forgive me for my sin. I trust in Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross to take my punishment. I believe in him. I turn to him. I turn away from living for myself. In his name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that with me in your heart, come and tell me afterwards, and I'll help you on the beginning of a wonderful journey where you're living in acknowledgement of God's good gifts, acknowledgement of your sin, and with the joy that comes from having a relationship with him. Don't forget, boys and girls, also, if you filled in your sheets, come and see me afterwards as well, and you can get a prize. I'm going to hand back to Paul or Cleve or Alison, whoever's next. Thank